Well, hey everybody, my name is Sam Krug, with a U umlaut on the top, Krug. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from pride, pornography, and a debilitating fear of man. Hey guys, hey, pray with me. Lord, I thank you so much for tonight and this day and this opportunity to be here and worship you and get to know you and get to know your people. Lord, I thank you that we can come here and know that there's freedom that is found in you, and there's life that is found in you and found in you alone. Lord, we love you. We thank you for every day that you give, that you've given us to live on this earth and to walk with you. Lord, I pray that you would use me tonight, not because of me, but because of what you have done in my life and how you have changed me completely apart from myself. Lord, I pray that everyone here would hear about the goodness of you tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. For the majority of my life, I carried a secret. One of those secrets that everything inside of you screams to release, but is restrained time and time again because of an overwhelming voice resonating in your head. What will everyone think if they truly knew? If they truly knew who I am? If they truly knew what I've done? And the fact that I just don't measure up to who I'm supposed to be. I've spent the majority of my life holding on to a secret that I believed would splinter my life if anyone else knew. I grew up in a small town in the rural Midwest, and in my town, everyone knew everything about everybody else. So if you had a skeleton in the closet, you better not let anyone know what it was, especially if you were considered to be a good church person. And my problem was that on the outside, I fit very well into that good church person mold. From the time I was a young boy, I've had an intense desire to please people. And thankfully, I grew up in a wonderful Christian family who taught me that life was found in knowing Jesus. I trusted Jesus for my salvation when I was 7 years old, when my brother shared the gospel with me in an old farm truck. In these moments, I truly wanted to know God. And yet in the midst of growing closer to the Lord, I started to realize that the better I behaved and the more Bible verses that I memorized, the more I was going to be heralded by other people. Though I didn't realize it at the time, my greatest desire was to receive the approval of those around me. When I saw I received approval for being good and for achieving certain tasks, I worked harder and harder to gain the approval that fueled my life. I was driven to do anything that I could to achieve and gain more and more approval. And as a result, I was driven to be the best at everything that I did. I was captain of the football team, president of the student body, and even president of the choir. But trust me, you don't want me to sing for you tonight. On the outside, I appeared to be the son that everyone wanted. I was active in my youth group, respectful of older people, and had a true heart to follow after God. The problem for me came in the seasons when the approval of others that I survived on waned. In the moments where I failed to achieve what I believed I should and lacked the approval of people, my confidence in myself grew thin. Instead of turning to my Savior to find my worth and approval, I turned to something darker. I often made the decision to satiate my hunger for approval with pornography. The images that I would fix my eyes upon gave me a temporary satisfaction that was easy to access and constantly available. Whenever I felt lonely or rejected, I always had a place to turn, where I knew I would never be turned down. An affirmation abounded for me there. From the moment my addiction to pornography began, I knew what I was doing was wrong. I knew that God loved me and that what I was doing was hurting myself. But I still couldn't stop. I continued to tell myself that I could quit, that I could quit on my own power, that I just needed to trust God more and that I didn't need anyone else in my life to help me. My pride told me that I was strong enough to quit on my own. When college came, I started to be noticed less and less by the good things that I did and found that I achieved less in a more competitive environment. I found less and less affirmation, and as a result, that insatiable appetite for approval grew. I began to become more dependent upon pornography and subsequent masturbation for comfort. Pornography once per month turned into once per week. And then once a week turned into once a day. And then multiple times per day. My addiction consumed my life. I hated everything about myself and what I was doing. I was truly miserable. I told God time after time that I would never do this again. But each empty promise was so simply broken when the urge to look again entered my mind. I knew that I should tell someone about my struggle, but every time that thought came, I would be overwhelmed with that same question. What will everyone think? In most people's eyes, I was still the golden boy, the guy who had life figured out. And so I continued to put on a mask and live a facade that I was walking closely with the Lord, but my heart was miles away from him. As a result of my hidden sin, my life was empty. I felt worthless and broken and alone. I felt like my life was just one big fake. Though I carried the appearance of godliness, the Lord was not the ruler of my life. The more I gave into pornography, the greater the emptiness I experienced. Though everything inside of me warred against the idea of outwardly confessing my sin to another person, my continued progression into pornography and all the evils it contained finally caused me to realize that I couldn't do this on my own. I realized that dependent upon myself, I was destined to fail. And so one fateful day, after hearing a sermon about the goodness of God's grace and how grace can be extended when we confess our sin to one another, I realized that my battle against pornography was not a battle I could fight with my own strength. Despite my greatest fear that I would be rejected if someone truly knew my sin, I knew I needed help. The message of Proverbs 28:13, which says, "He who conceals his sin will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes his sin will find mercy," overcame me. I wanted to experience mercy and I craved forgiveness. So I finally confessed my sin. I will admit to you that some people responded in ways that I had previously feared as I was initially met with rejection. Yet I can confidently and thankfully also share that confessing my longtime sin was one of the most freeing and best decisions of my entire life. I cannot explain to you the difference that I felt the next time I was in a church service. I remember so clearly singing praises to God in a way that I had not been able to for many years. I was able to sing with a clean heart. In those moments, I experienced God's grace through a group of men who I had confessed my sin to. I experienced love and I experienced forgiveness, and it was far better than I could have imagined. I realized that I didn't have to go around hiding anymore. I was fully known, and because I was fully known, I finally felt fully loved. My life changed drastically after my initial confession. I saw the pain my sin had caused myself and the damage it had done to those around me, and I realized I didn't want to live a life addicted to pornography anymore. Pornography wrecked me, and my decision to withhold confession was one of pure pride. These decisions had destroyed me up until that point. Instead of giving me joy, pornography and pride robbed me of it. Instead of making me feel validated, they isolated me from those who loved me and could help me. Instead of bringing me life, porn brought me death and robbed me of the closeness I craved with my Savior. By God's grace and with the accountability from a group of my peers as well as older mentors, I was able to walk away from pornography almost completely 8 years ago. God's grace has radically altered the course of my life. And though through admitting that I was incapable of walking away from sin on my own and trusting in God's instruction through his word, I was able to confess my sin and experience the forgiveness of God. I'm so thankful that my secret is finally out. I realized in those moments what I had known in my head for many years, that God's grace is greater than all of my sin. Growing up in a Christian home, I knew the truths of God's word, but out of my confession, I was finally able to trust God enough to experience his grace for myself. As I say these things, I'm reminded of one of my favorite songs, and the chorus of the song impacts me every time I sing it. Says, "Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all my sin." God's grace is greater than all of our sin. Not just all of my sin, but all of your sin. And not just all of your sin, but the sin of the world. It doesn't matter what you have done or how much pain you have caused. There's nothing that you have done that Jesus didn't die for. Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, who was perfect and holy in every way, came to earth to die on the cross that he may pay the penalty for our sin, a penalty for my sin. Jesus has taken every ounce of guilt and every ounce of shame upon himself that I deserved in order that we might be freed from the bondage of our sin. Galatians 6:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." And though I trusted Jesus for my salvation when I was a child, my confession opened the door for me to experience the goodness of salvation and the freedom that comes in walking closely with him. God had saved me from my sins, and he'd made me righteous and new. As you hear these things, I hope these statements encourage you tonight as you think about what God has done for you. The grace and forgiveness that has been extended to me has been extended to you as well. God loves you. He wants to know you. And he's given each of us a reason for hope. The significance of God's grace in my life changed me so intensely that I couldn't imagine spending my life doing anything other than being used by God to help other people know and experience the freedom and forgiveness that he provides. With this goal in mind, I left my small Midwestern home 4 years ago to move to the big city and attend Dallas Seminary. Moving to Dallas was one of the most challenging decisions of my life. I left everything and everyone that I knew and moved to a place completely out of my comfort zone. And the first year in Dallas was one of the most challenging years I've ever experienced. I remember falling down on the cold concrete floor of my apartment night after night in tears, as I cried out to God, asking him why he had called me here. I felt isolated and I felt alone in the midst of the big city lights. In these moments, I was in prime territory for another binge into pornography. I was away from close friends, absent from any positive affirmation and approval of people, and deeply desiring comfort. It was at this critical point that my relationship with the Lord was going to go one way or another. I would either give in to pornography again as I had in the past, or I would run to God for my source of hope. And by God's grace and the memory of the devastation that pornography had caused in my life prior to this point, I chose to rely on intimacy with God. As a result, my relationship with my Savior took an incredible turn for the better. When I had nothing else to depend on, I was able to depend on the Lord. I spent time daily reading God's word, praying for my family, and lovingly communicating the goodness of the gospel to those who had not yet trusted Christ. In these decisions, I saw an incredible paradox between what I had ran to for comfort before. Instead of taking the easy route and looking to affirmation from computer images of women, I turned to Jesus, the ultimate giver of life. The results could not have been any more different. Living for an instant gratification brought pain and death, but walking with God, as hard as it was, brought life and peace. Over the next few months, the Lord brought a new group of men into my life for accountability and friendship. Every need that I had, God provided for in his perfect timing. Rarely did he provide in the ways I would have wanted initially, but his timing allowed me to root my dependence deeply upon him alone. I wish I could admit to you tonight that all of my struggles mysteriously faded after that point. I wish that I could tell you that I no longer struggle with lust and that I'm fully dependent upon the Lord for my desire for approval on a daily basis. But if I told you those things, I would be telling you a grave lie. The truth is, though the struggle is very different for me today, I continue to struggle every day, mostly in the area of human affirmation and people pleasing. I still really want people to like me. I want you to like what I have had to say tonight, so much so that I continue to have a tendency to find my worth and my value in what you think of me instead of what God thinks of me. This fear of man can be a paralyzing force upon my life if I'm not careful to walk closely with God. I can think of times, even within the last few months, where I knew I had something valuable to contribute to a project or a meeting, but simply clammed up because I couldn't find the right words to make myself sound impressive. In the moments that I did muster the courage to speak, I could sense a quiver in my voice because I was so nervous about how I would be received. I've turned down ministry opportunities because I didn't think I had enough time to be perfect in what was required of me. If I didn't think I could be perfect and impressive, then my fear of man stopped me cold. This sin of the fear of man has the potential to render me completely ineffective for the Lord. I love teaching God's word and declaring his goodness and truth. But when my fear of what other people think of me overtakes my God-given desire, my confidence wanes and I miss opportunities to love other people simply because of my fear. As a result of going through Regen in the last year, the Lord has done significant work in me over the last several months and helping me to grow past some of these things. But there's still much to be done. I need the Lord and his grace every single day. If I stop walking with Christ and abiding with him daily, I have no doubt that I almost immediately find myself entrenched in an addiction to pornography and paralyzed by a fear of what other people think of me in a mere matter of weeks. I need Jesus every moment of every day. I know that I'm incapable of walking the life God has called me to live on my own, and I need a whole lot of help. But you know what? I'm okay with that. I've seen what comes when I depend upon myself and pretend that I have life all figured out on my own. I've seen what comes when I live my life in the context of biblical community and in dependence upon the Lord. I want to live life to the fullest. And through Jesus Christ, I have discovered the way of life. He's shown me that I'm valuable, that I'm useful, and that I'm loved. He's also shown me that no matter how many times I fall, and I do daily, he is there to pick me up, dust me off, and put me right back in the game. What an incredible God we serve, and what a gift to know that no matter what happens, the God of the universe is with us at every twist and turn. If I could just say one thing to you tonight, I would tell you that no matter what you have done, no matter how far you have gone, no matter what darkness that you have been hiding, God loves you. He desires that you would experience life through a relationship with his son. And there's nothing that you have done that Jesus' death on the cross hasn't paid for. There are people here who love you and want to see you find mercy and forgiveness as you confess your sin. Don't let another day go by living in darkness. There's hope for you through Jesus. John 10:10, my favorite verse in the Bible says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus came that you may have life and have it abundantly." Through Jesus, we have access to the only source of life. Because of what God did in sending his son to die and raise again from the dead, you can experience forgiveness and freedom and peace. God loves you. He desires to know you. Run to him and you will find life. Thank you.